Well, good morning, God morning. Welcome to Make It Happen Monday. My name is Barbara Cockrell. I'm your host for today. Make It Happen Monday is where we do service acts and good deeds for someone as Christ would do. Let's be the Jesus that some people may never see. Tonight you're invited to join us for Marriage Matters. For married couples and marriage hopefuls from 6 to 7 Pacific Standard Time, you will hear real-life lessons and raw discussions as God planned it all to be. I want to say thank you to those who already signed up for the production team. There's still a space for you if you're interested in joining the team and helping us with our fundraising efforts. Please contact Erica via inbox or respond to the post in the Victory Room. Lastly, family, if you have been blessed by the call and understand and believe in the global vision, and you are led to partner with Declared Victory in changing lives one deed at a time, please visit the Victory Room private forum, the website, or the mobile app, and click the link to donate. For all that have decided to give, we thank you so very much. And the people that you bless, thank you also. Our spoken prayer request this morning, Sister Julia is praying for herself and her family, the DV family, all mothers and children, and everyone traveling safe today. JC had a praise report. She's been off work since 2007, and her rent went up in January. And praise God, it was readjusted, and it went back down for a whole nother year. Thank you, Jesus. Michelle has been in the hospital. She had a minor stroke. Please keep her lifted up for her health. And let's keep Tarina and Kedra lifted up also. Our online prayer requests are as follows. Latanya Weston is asking for prayer for her daughter, Portia Miller. My Victory family, please keep my daughter, Portia, up in prayer. Carol Jackson is asking for prayer for herself and her family. Please agree in prayer with me for peace and unity in my home. On yesterday, I had a very painful event take place in my family, and my heart is broken. I ask that we agree in prayer for restoration of my family as well. Thank you so much. Tracy Lawrence has a prayer for Christina Cameron Thomas, and my computer on 1 o'clock. Pray for the Cameron family that God will comfort them. Alonzo Cameron passed away yesterday. My family from New York, I know he made it in. He was saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Rhoda has a prayer request this morning for herself. She's speaking at a financial workshop tonight for the first time. Join her in prayer for strength, courage, and wisdom. She knows that tonight will be successful. Thank you in advance for your prayers. Our lineup for today is scripture will be read by the missus. Our declaration will be by Pamela. Prayer warrior number one is Pamela, number two is Dee Dee, number three is Jeff, and our closer today will be Sabrina.
Could we get someone to, could you have someone fill in for Brother Jeff today? I need someone to fill in for me, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Our scripture will be read by the missus, our declaration by Pamela, our first prayer by Pamela, prayer warrior number two is Dee Dee, and number three, Miss D, are you in a position to be prayer warrior number three for me?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I'll fill in number three.
I
the closing will be Sabrina. Who's that?
This is Ruth.
Did somebody say?
This is Ruth. Amen.
Ruth, are you going to be number three?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate it. And our closer will be Sabrina. Don't forget to mute your lines. Have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you at the end of the corporate call. May God bless you as I pass the call.
Good morning, everyone. I will be reading Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And it reads, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the doors of his holy word as I pass the call.
Amen. Thank you so much, Barbara, for being our host and greeter this morning. And Miss D, was that Miss D who did the scripture? Thank you.
No, that was
so much.
The missus.
The missus. Oh, thank you so much for doing the scripture. I really love that scripture so much. And so thank you for reading that. This morning, I wanted to focus on the topic, fixing your focus, and the text I wanted to come from is Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy that set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This morning I wanted to focus on fixing our focus. So many of us seem to get really focused and concerned about what other people are doing. And this morning I wanted to talk about fixing our focus and what it means to fix our focus. For the word focus comes from the word Greek word sankinthrono, which means to bring a clear view, bring something into clear view. There's also the verb, which means esthizo, which means to focalize or to fix yourself or to concentrate on something. The adjective means episimo, kindro, which means to become the center of attention or to become clear or to make sharper. When I was thinking about the word focus, I began to think about the word our vision. Now, I've been wearing glasses for a few years now, and I just recently had to go in and have a new eye exam because my glasses weren't strong enough. And, you know, I was having difficulty seeing and reading, and so I needed to go in and get a new prescription. And in order to get my prescription done, I had to go to the ophthalmologist, and she, you know, put me into this little machine and begin to click these lenses. And she began to ask me, like, is one better or is two better or is two better or is three better? And as she was clicking them, it was, like, getting confusing. You know, I was like, I don't know if number one is clear or number two is clear. And it just kind of, you know, as she was clicking and asking, you know, which was the best, which was the best one for me, you know, she continued until she eventually, she came up with my specific prescription, and she began to subscribe a prescription for me. And I had to go in and get my new glasses done. And it kind of made me think about this particular text. For this text that's found in the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is known as the book of faith. And even though we don't really know who the author is, we know that the content is to encourage our faith. But as you get into the book of Hebrews, you see in chapter 12, verse 1, and it starts off with the word therefore. And the word therefore is really a strong affirmation, and it basically affirms what is to follow. It means that everything that is going forward, everything that is going forward will solidify everything that has been stated in chapters 1 through 11. The word therefore also, it means that everything that was preceded is about to be explained, and it's about to be explained why this particular verse is, it's about to explain what preceded this particular verse. So you see in chapters, Hebrew basically starts off in chapters like 1 and 2 kind of talking about who Jesus is. And it tells us how Jesus is God in the flesh. And it goes on to tell us that, you know, Jesus is not just a prophet or a rabbi, but that he is God incarnate. And it goes on to talk about how he came down from heaven and he dwelled among us. It goes on to talk about how he's in all things and through all things and how he created all things and how he never was created because he's a part of the Trinity and he's the second Godhead. And then chapters 2, Hebrews goes on through, I guess, chapters like 7 through 11. It begins to talk about how the Old Testament had this sacrificial order that was a part of the Mosaic Law, and how there had to be sacrifices made and atonement made for our sins. And in the Old Testament, there was this high priest who basically had to sacrifice an animal in order to make atonement for our sins. And it was only done annually, once a year. So, you know, if you didn't make that annual sacrifice, you know, you had to wait till the next go-round. But then Jesus comes out of the order of Melchizedek, and he's the sacrificial lamb, and he's our high priest. And so that means that there's no longer a need for this sacrificial offering that's made in the Old Testament. There's no longer a need for us to try to fulfill the commandments, even though we're ordered to do the commandments, even though we failed to do the commandments. Jesus has now come. And because Jesus has come, that he will now fulfill the law. And he's basically saying that I'm going to take care of everything for you. I'm going to die on your behalf. I'm going to take care of this sacrificial offering based on the Mosaic law, and it'll never have to end because I have come and I will be the one that will save you because I've established it. And then Hebrew goes on to talk about the great cloud of witnesses in chapter 11, and that kind of goes back to the scripture that I read that says, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses who, you know, we might be wondering, like, who are the witnesses? They're Abraham and Gideon and Samson and Rahab and all of these who had true faith in God. And they had great faith to the point that they died waiting on the Messiah's promise. And they never gave up on God. And they didn't give up on their hope for the promise of the Messiah. Even though many of us, you know about those who were persecuted, and even though many of them were martyred and had to die for the faith, they continued to stand firm. And that's what this particular text is talking about, this great witness that we're surrounded by. They weren't spectator Christians, but they were actually like a stadium full of witnesses, like the Oakland Coliseum or you know, like at the Super Bowl. There's just great cloud of witnesses. And can you imagine when you're getting ready to go into a race or go into a meet and you're being surrounded by all of these who died into the faith? And so this particular text in Hebrew is talking about this hall of fame, this great crowd of witnesses that are there. And it goes on to say that, therefore, we are surrounded by this great crowd of witnesses. And it goes on to say, let us throw off everything that hinders us, every weight that hinders us, every sin that entangles us. And I really wanted to focus specifically on that. It's like laying aside every weight, laying aside every sin. And I wanted to focus on that. And I know Pastor Lavelle and Dee Dee focused on this a little bit this past week, but the Bible tells us that we need to lay aside these weights, and in order to move forward, you have to lay aside the weight. You have to lay aside the things that are delaying your progress. You have to lay aside things that are weighing you down and keeping you from running the race. And the Bible says that we have to lay aside these weights. There's a responsibility that we have to take off the things that are weighing us down. Now, there may be several things that might be weighing us down. It could be people. It could be things. It could be anything that hinders us from living living our life to the fullest for God. Anything that hinders us as a believer and that prevents us. And I want to encourage us this morning that there's some things that we have to throw off in order to really run full speed in 2016, because there's some weight that's weighing us down, and we need to be honest with ourselves. And I'm not talking about, you know, just like weight that you're gaining. I'm talking about baggage. I'm talking about things that are keeping us from moving forward into the purpose that God is calling us to, things that are preventing us from really pursuing fully. And the scripture says that we must throw it off. We must lay it aside, everything that entangles us. And it says that every sin that so easily entangles us. Now, you have to think about that, because if it's saying that it's our responsibility to lay aside these weights and every sin that entangles us, can you imagine something that's entangling you, something that you're wrapped up in that's keeping you from really running a race? This past weekend, my niece was involved in a track meet, and she was running a race for the district, like a district meet in Texas, and my niece was sending us information about how the meet and the race was going. And I could only imagine if she was in her starting blocks ready to take off and she had bondage and things wrapped around her feet preventing her from really being able to run full speed down the meet. And that's what the Bible is telling us that we need to do. We need to lay aside these weights, things that are causing us, that's stopping us and preventing us from moving full force. Every sin, every weight, meaning the little sin and the big sin. And I know, like I said, Dee Dee had kind of touched on this. The little sins might just be the little things that are surrounding you right now. You know, the things that continue to be an issue for us, that sin that knows our name and our number, the sin that's so familiar that we become so comfortable with. Those are the things that we need to lay aside. Those are things that we need to make sure that we take off and lay aside and get rid of, because these are things that will completely entangle us. It's like being trapped wrapped up or tangled, and a live animal is coming towards you trying to devour you. And, you know, if you really think about it, most animals, like, you know, a lion or a bear or something, won't really attack you when you're in a group. But when you're by yourself, you know, then they seem to come forward and try to attack you. So that's just kind of a little side note. But, you know, like, it's important for us to make sure that we do what's right in the sight of God, that we continue to lay aside the sin and lay aside the weight that is keeping us and that's blocking our progress. In Romans 6, it says, sin does not have dominion over us, and we need to stop giving in to things that so easily entangles us. You might be asking, like, why you're not getting ahead in your purpose, in your ministry. So often we blame God, but it's not God's fault. It's because we need to be responsible and we need to begin to lay aside the weights. We need to lay aside the sin that entangles us. And then it says that we must run with endurance and perseverance the race. And so it means that we need to be able to withstand hardship and stress, because the race isn't going to be easy. And so many times we think that our race is a sprint, but most of the time our race is a marathon. So we need to be prepared to run the race with endurance and run our race with diligence. So this morning I just want us to fix our focus on Jesus as I kind of come to a close, because when I go to the doctor to get my eyes checked, you know, they put your head inside this little machine so that you can't look to the left or look to the right. You're focused on what's in front of you, and you're focused on the voice of the doctor. And it's important that as we're fixing our focus, that we are focusing on the voice of God, and that we, as we lay aside the weights and the sin that entangles us, that we stay focused and fixed on what God is calling us to do and what God is telling us to do. Because just like you stick your head in that machine at the ophthalmologist and they're telling you, you know, is it the left or the right, you know, and you're not able to see what's going on around you, but you're just looking straight ahead, it's important for us to keep our sights ahead and our sights on Jesus, who is our prize and the high calling. Father God, we just come to you this morning thanking you, Lord, for an opportunity to study your word and to learn your word this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, God, to understand the importance, God, of fixing our focus on you as we lay aside the weights that so easily entangle us. Father, I come to you this morning, Father, just praying, Lord, that you would cleanse me right now of all of my unrighteousness, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as I come before you, I confess, God, that there are things in my life even that I have failed to do, or things in my life that I need to clean up. And I just pray right now, God, that you would help me to restore the things in my life that are not like you, God, and the things that are entrapping me and stopping me from fulfilling the full destiny and purpose that you have for my life. I pray for each of the callers that's on the line, God, that those who are listening, God, that they too, if there's something in their lives that's stopping them or blocking them or weighing them down, that you would give them the strength, God, to lay it aside and to focus on you. Father, we just come to you this morning, God, just thanking you, Lord, for another opportunity to come before your throne. Father, we pray, Lord, for each of the prayer requests that's been offered up this morning, God. I pray for Michelle, God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for keeping her, God, during the times that she was in the hospital. And I thank you, God, for bringing her safely back onto the call. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to restore, Father, whatever it is that affected her during her stroke, God, and that, you know, if she's having difficulty with her eyes or her mouth or her arms, God, that you would begin to restore it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just put a hedge of protection around her and her whole household. Father, I pray for each person, God, who put in prayer requests that dealt with healing, God, and I just pray, Lord, that you would restore them, God. Father, for your word says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but that you will deliver us out of them all. So, God, I pray right now that you will begin to restore and that you will deliver, God, right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for Christine Thompson, God, and that you would bless that family, Lord, and help them during their time of grief, God. Father, that you would give them peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, I pray for Kendra and Karna, God. Father, that you would touch them and help them, God. Father, for your word said that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, God. So, God, we stand right now, God, just thanking you, God, that you are keeping them strong, Father, and that you're helping them to stand strong as they endure the race, God, that they're going through. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would touch Portia Miller, God. And Father, although I don't know what's going on with her, God, you know, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just touch her and keep her, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. And Carol Jackson, God, right now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bring peace and unity to that household, God. Father, so we come with confidence, God, in knowing that everything that we ask for, God, that you said that we, if we ask, we shall receive, God. If we knock, the door shall be open, God. If we seek, we shall find. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would bless that household, God, that you would restore that household, God. Father, that you would help bring unity, God, to each family member in that house, God. Father, that you would bind them close together, God. Oh, Father, your word says that you, if you be lifted up, you'll draw men to you, God, and that you would just begin to draw them to you, God. Father, help them to see you, God, in the midst of the conflict, God. Help them to see you, God, in the midst of the problems that they're going through. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would bless Rhoda, God, and Father, give her strength and power, God, as she prepares to speak your word this evening, Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would equip her, God, with everything that she needs to do, God, this evening. Father, for we know, God, that you will give her great boldness, God, to speak forth, God. Father, we know that you are able, God. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing, God, in the lives of each believer on this line, God, for each victor, God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to draw us close to you, God. Father, help us to seek you, God, in the midst of our difficulties, God, that you would help us to seek you, God, in all that we do. Father, just order our steps, God, and keep us strong, God. Father, help us to just trust you in everything, God, that we do, God. Father, even though times might get difficult, God, your word said that weeping will only endure for the night, but that joy will come in the morning, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would just let us see that breakthrough from heaven, that joy, God, that peace that will surpass all understanding. Father, we just praise you, God. We thank you, God, for each prayer warrior that will be coming after me, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just touch them with your anointing, God, and that you would just fill them, Lord, as they pray, God, on behalf of the people. Father, for we just praise you and we thank you in the name of Jesus for what you're going to do this day. Amen, as I pass the call.
Go ahead, Ruth. Sorry, I put myself on mute. Good morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you for our lives, thanking you for waking us up this morning. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be in our right mind and good health. We thank you for our families. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to get us through another year. Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings that you have blessed us with, the seen and unforeseen. We thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to be strong and allowing us to be to have courage for each other. Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing me to get through some of the worst times of my life. Lord, I thank you for being there for me and keeping me strong. Lord, I thank you for just allowing us to be servants of you, Lord. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you're getting ready to do, Lord. I thank you for what you've already done. I thank you, Lord, for everyone on this call. For, Lord, we sincerely pray and love each other. God, I thank you for all the things that you have planned for us for 2016. I thank you, Lord, for our families. And, Lord, my biggest prayer, Lord, is for those who don't know you, for the lost, the suicidal, for those who are holding hatred and unforgiveness. Lord, I thank you, and I pray, Lord, that we reach people, Lord, that need you. I pray, Lord, that our lives are witness, and that we will reach people at work and on people that we meet. I pray, Lord, that we are a blessing to someone else today. I pray, Lord, for peace, happiness, joy. I pray for a life, Lord, for us. There are many of us that are struggling with different things, Lord, on this call. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every person, Lord, that you bless their finances, that you bless their health. Lord, I thank you for me being able to be on this call this morning. Even through the struggles that I went through this weekend, Lord, I thank you for giving me the strength to be on this call, Heavenly Father. For you know, Lord, what I'm going through. You know what we're all going through. But Lord, we come here every day at 6 o'clock in the morning, pouring our hearts out to you, Lord, asking you, Lord, just to keep us. So, Lord, again, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for just being there for us, Lord. We absolutely love you, Lord. We honor you. We praise you. For, Lord, we are nothing without you. Lord, we ask you daily just to keep us, Lord. And we ask you to allow us to spread your word to, Lord, to those who really need you, Heavenly Father. We pray for our children on today, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that they would have a relationship with you on their own. And they will get to know you and also spread your word to others. That is your goal for us, Lord. And you say, Lord, and your word says in Matthew's, if we ask, we have not because we ask not. So, Lord, on today I ask you to please, Lord, just cover me today. Cover all of us today, Lord. And whatever your will is for us, Lord, let it be. There are things that we may want that is not good and pleasing in your eyes. So have your way with us today, Lord. Have your way with us, Lord. I thank you, Heavenly Father, and I ask you again, Lord, on today, just to be with us, Lord. Cover us. Give us protection, Heavenly Father. Give us knowledge and wisdom that we need. Lord, I ask you, Heavenly Father, to keep the pastors, our leaders. Lord, touch our neighborhoods. Touch, especially, Lord, black men, Lord, please, I ask you, Lord, to touch their minds and their hearts. Please, Heavenly Father, and put the love that they need to have for each other. Lord, for they don't know you, Lord. So that is my prayer, Lord, for black men, all men, but especially black men, to love each other, to see light, not darkness. And sit at the table, Lord, and have a conversation. This thing is universal, so that's my prayer, Lord, for love. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to change. I thank you for allowing me to be who I am. And, Lord, I ask you to keep me and allow me to continue to be a blessing to somebody. Allow my testimony, Heavenly Father, from 2015 to bless someone else so they don't go through the same thing that I went through last year. Lord, I pray for marriages on the line. I pray for single people on the line. I pray for love because I know that love conquers all. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to forgive those, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to please allow all of us to be forgiving and allow us to be judged, not be judgmental. Allow me, Lord, to even help my sister right now, even though I don't want to. Soften my heart because it's not me, Lord. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have done. I thank you again for what you're getting ready to do, Heavenly Father. Lord, we love you. We absolutely love you, and we are grateful for everything that you're doing. I have learned that the best conversation I could have is with you, Lord, first thing in the morning to get my day started. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over all of our families. Allow us to go out today, Lord, and I ask you just to give us protection. Bring us back to our homes this evening with our families. I thank you, Heavenly Father, and I ask all these things in your name, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Dear God, we come before you with grateful hearts, thanking you, God, for allowing us to see the newness of a brand new day. God, thanking you for just touching our bodies and our minds, God, thanking you for your protection that watched over us all night long, God, thanking you for health, God, and for strength on this morning, thanking you, God, for preserving Michelle's life. God, we thank you that we were able to hear her voice this morning. We thank you for the angels that encamp round about us, God, even when we slumber and when we sleep, God, we thank you for the many times on a daily basis you keep us from danger, seen and unseen danger. God, we simply thank you. And with that, God, we come before you lifting up the cares of the world. God, lifting up the needs of the people of the world. God, we thank you for an opportunity to be intercessors. God, praying for others. God, we thank you that we are willing to dedicate this time to lift up the needs of the people. God, knowing that you're going to take care of us when we lift up others. So, God, we just thank you for what you're doing even in this world, God. We thank you, God, that we have the confidence to believe that your word says if we seek your face, that you would heal the land. So, God, we lift up this world to you. God, we lift up those that are sick and shut in on today. We lift up those that are sick with sin on today. God, we lift up those that are living destructive lifestyles who don't even know that they need you. God, those are the ones that we bring before you on this Make It Happen Monday, God, believing that you can make a difference in their lives. God, we thank you that you're turning hearts. We thank you, God, that you're touching minds. We thank you, God, that you're even protecting them, because your word says that you reign on the just as well as the unjust. So, God, we just thank you for who you are in this terrible world. We thank you that we have a hope in you, God. We thank you, God, that you're yet protecting and providing. God, we thank you that you're the children, God, have you to lean and depend on. God, we ask that you would just continue to do what only you can do, and that's be God in this world. God, we thank you for every church that stands open in your name. God, we thank you for every pastor. We thank you for every leader. God, we thank you for everyone who's standing, proclaiming the gospel, standing in integrity and dignity, God, proclaiming that you are the risen Savior, and without you, we are nothing. God, we thank you for every military person, God, that's standing in the gap for our freedom. God, we thank you that as they lay their life on the line daily, you are with them. God, we thank you that you've given them a mind to protect our freedom. So, God, we ask that you would continue to be a fence all around them. God, we thank you for law enforcement personnel. God, we thank you for those that are doing what's right, those that are committed to protecting everyone, regardless of race and creed and economic status. God, we thank you that you would continue to be a shield, God, even to protect them. God, we thank you that you would help them to build relationships and communities. God, we thank you that your work is still being done. Even though we see more negative on the news and in the news, God, than positive, we thank you that your word is still being accomplished. We thank you that the gospel is still going forth. We thank you that souls are being added to the kingdom daily, God. We thank you for missionaries standing out on the mission field, God, who dedicated their lives to bringing souls to Christ. We thank you for those that are out in the trenches, in the highways, in the hedges. We ask that you would be with them, God. Supply all of their needs in the name of Jesus. God, strength to their bodies, even their feet as they're shod with the preparation of the gospel. God, we pray that nothing will lack from them. God, we ask that you would continue to be their motivation. Continue, God, to be the center of their joy. God, keep them encouraged. God, I pray for everyone that's homeless on this season, God, everyone that's sleeping on the streets or in encampments, God, in this unusually cold weather. God, and I ask that you would clothe them with blankets and with heat, God. I pray that, God, no lives will be lost, God, because of hypothermia. God, I pray that shelters will be able to remain open. I pray that they will have the resources, God, needed to continue to meet the needs of the people. God, we thank you for organizations such as GRIP. We thank you for the Bay Area Rescue Mission. God, we thank you for the work that churches like Acts is doing in the community. God, we thank you for the work that PSBC and for Bethel Temple and for Revival Center. God, we thank you for the work that these churches are doing in the community to meet the needs of the people. God, and I thank you, God, that we come against lack. God, I thank you that you're supplying needs. God, I thank you that the people came together and they had all things in common. God, I thank you for a giving spirit. God, I thank you that even the needs that was lifted up on this call this morning, that they will be met. God, I thank you that cars will be repaired. I thank you that rent will be paid. God, I thank you that health will be restored. God, I thank you that peace that surpasses all understanding will be with bereaved on today. God, I just thank you for how you blessed and for how you kept us. God, I thank you for how you kept our minds stayed on you, God, when things were meant to distract us and to tear us away from you. God, I thank you that our faith was increased. I thank you how you continue to give us testimony after testimony so that we can boldly and broadly share the news of this great gospel. I thank you, God, that healing testimonies will abound. God, I thank you that we can go into the hospitals and say that you're able, God. You are the great physician. God, I thank you that we have the testimony that even through great loss and tribulation that our minds were stayed intact because you are mindful of us. God, on this morning, we are simply overwhelmed that you take the time out to call us friend and that you're concerned about the needs of your people, God. So as we collectively begin to take our phones off of mute, thanking you for what you've done, thanking you for what you're going to do. God, we begin to thank you for the miracles that will take place on this Monday. God, we thank you that you're going to do great and mighty things, even through us. God, we thank you that we will be the New Testament church. God, we will be the book of Acts, God, and that miracles will happen at our hands, not for our glory, God, but for your glory. So we thank you, God, for what you're doing, God, and we ask that you would help us to continue to set ourselves aside. God, pray for ourselves last and pray for others first. God, we thank you for an opportunity to even stand in the gap for your people. God, we bless your name on today because you're high and elegant and you're worthy to be praised. God, we thank you for an opportunity to even get up at 6 a.m. and to pray. God, we bless your name. God, give us the heart continually for your people. God, we pray right now. I ask that you would bless Brother Jeff on this morning, touch his body, God, in the name of Jesus, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. God, you know what he's dealing with, you know what you're going through, God, and I ask that you would just restore in the name of Jesus, God, be glorious, be ideal, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for his faithfulness, God, and I ask that God will be rewarded. God, I thank you in the name of the Lord, every man that's on the line. God, I thank you for a spirit of leadership on today. God, I thank you that they will continue to yield their life to you, God. I thank you for the gift that you've given us. God, I thank you for Donham this morning. I thank you for his heart. I thank you for his mind. God, I thank you for his spirit. And God, I pray that he will become closer and closer to you. God, I pray that you will continue to draw him to you. God, I thank you that he will be a man after your own heart. God, I thank you that you will lead and guide him, God, as he leads and guides his family. God, any struggles, any devices that he has, God, I'm telling you, it's in the name of Jesus. God, I know that you can break every stronghold, God. You can break every fetter. So, God, I lift him up to you, God. I'm confident that you hear me, God. You know what I mean, and I thank you, God. I come and give drinking and smoking in the name of Jesus. Rebel rouse, God, I'm going to use it. In the name of Jesus, thank you that you're moving and you're making him in his family today, God. I thank you for that God when God is with you on today. And his children, God, in our lives, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you will bless God with employment, God, that it will need to be supplemented, God, that it will meet every and all needs, God, I thank you.
God. I thank you for how you added.
Thank you for covering it.
God, I thank you, God. The souls are continuing to come. God, I thank you
for you being our
refuge and
our
rampart,
Lord.
For an opportunity to even
you are our shield and our buckler, Lord.
What you're doing, God, I thank you for Pastor Coleman on today.
Thank you,
for
our God, and more than enough, Father God.
Wisdom and knowledge. God, I pray that you would give back to him everything that he gives to us. Thank you for a life that he is serving him. God, I thank you for his heart. God, I just thank you for who you are in our lives. God, I thank you that you chose us. God, I thank you that you loved us first. God, I thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for how you keep us. God, I thank you for even how, even in the midst of this neighborhood, your fence, your protection, God, and I just thank you for that, God, that you are our strength and our shield on this morning. You are a mighty fortress on today. God, I thank you that your name is a strong tower, God, and we find safety and refuge in it. God, I just thank you. You're all that we need, God. You're all that we need, and I pray that you become all that we want. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you become our greatest desire, God. I pray that we would hunger and thirst after you as never before. God, I pray that the things that we go through will never shake our faith and our confidence in you, God. I thank you for assurance, God. I thank you that one day we'll be able to stand and say, having confidence in this one thing, and whatever that one thing is, God, whatever comes up against that one thing, it won't shake our faith. It won't shake our confidence. Our continence won't be affected. God, I just thank you because you're great and you're mighty. I thank you that you live, you reign, and you rule. God, I thank you that you are yet working miracles. God, I thank you that your word will not return to you void. God, I thank you that it is still accomplishing that which you set out to do. God, I thank you that your word is powerful. God, I thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. God, I thank you that we will begin to realize the gifts and the tools that you left us with. You didn't leave us lonely, God. You left us a comforter. Hallelujah, and I thank you, God, that you're with us on today. So, God, as we begin to transition from this portion of the call on this Make It Happen Monday, I thank you for every opportunity that will present itself for us to make it happen. God, I thank you for every opportunity that you will present that it will make it, it will be made to happen for some of us on today. God, we thank you for miraculous testimonies. With the same enthusiasm as the world, God, embraced the lotto, the super lotto, God, this weekend, we will embrace every miracle and every opportunity that presents itself our way. God, I thank you in advance for holy boldness. I thank you for wording our mouths. God, I thank you for giving us the confidence to pray, even in public. God, when opportunities present itself, God, I thank you that the world will see our light on today and glorify our Father which is in heaven. God, I thank you. I ask that you would touch those of us right now that are having a crisis of confidence, God, and that you would give us boldness, that we will proclaim the gospel, God. You said that we will be in season and out of season, God, and I just thank you for opportunities on today. Looking forward to hearing testimonies on tomorrow. These blessings and all others we ask in your precious Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
And amen. Amen. We pass the call.
Amen.
Amen. Well, hello and welcome again to Declared Victory. My name is Barbara Cockrell, and I was your host for today, and I hope that something has been said to inspire you today. Is anyone on the call that joins that would like to say good morning? Do we have any new callers on the line?
Good morning. This is Brother Lamont. I'd like to say God bless everybody today.
Good morning, Brother Lamont.
Good morning.
Good morning, it's Nisi. Good morning, Cindy. Good morning, Sandy. Good morning, Andrea. Good morning, Andrea. Is Andrea a new caller? Andrea, no. Good morning, family.
Andrea, oh, okay. Okay.
Thank
good
you.
Morning.
Good morning, ladies. Family, love you.
Good morning. Anyone else?
Good morning, it's Keisha. Good morning.
Good Good morning, Keisha.
Hey, Keisha.
Good morning. It's Moni.
Good morning, Moni.
Where's she at? Hello.
I'm here.
Well, we're glad
in the middle.
Good morning. It's Sister Gloria.
Good morning, Sister Gloria.
Good morning.
Anyone else? Okay, well, I hope that you can join us for our next segment. It's called Love, Life, and Victory. And I want to thank Pamela for that awesome declaration as I pass the call.
Thank you so much, Barbara. And thank you for all of the prayer warriors who prayed. Sabrina, such a powerful, powerful prayer. And for Ruth for stepping in. Really appreciate your commitment.
Yeah, but look, before you skim over that, Ms. Ruth Ann, I'm sorry,
yes.
I must say something. Because a year, 2 years ago, I don't know exactly when it was, but Ruth Ann, let me tell you something, young lady. I'm so proud of you, I can't see straight. No fear at all, none. And I remember Ruth Ann having to, honey, she needed a cup of coffee, some water, her to hold her husband's hand and all the rest of the stuff to read a scripture. Baby, that's a big, gigantic deal. And if I could have, I was in tears. I am so proud of you, and I just wanted to let you know that.
Amen.
Thank you, Ma. Thank you, lady. You know what I found I want to say really quick? When I was in the streets, I had no fear. I looked back and I said, how in the world did I do all that? I didn't have fear of nobody. So how I get on this side and have fear? Mm-mm. God got me. He's kept me. And I thank everybody on this call, even the new people. Everybody, thank you. Because I don't wake up with a scratchy voice anymore. I don't even know how that happened. I know it was nothing but the Lord. Because I would wake up and I couldn't hardly talk. But now he's cleared my voice.
Amen.
Amen.
Well done, my sister. Well done, Ruth.
Right. God I'm bless. Proud of you, too, Ruth. Thank you so much for stepping up.
You're welcome.
Wow, look at God. Look at God. So this morning, the declaration was on fixing our focus, and I started off by talking about how, you know, I needed to go in and get my glasses prescription redone. And how many people on the call have ever had to go to the ophthalmologist and have their prescription done or either check to see if their eyes were okay? And you know how it is when you get in those machines, and it's like you can't, they'll block off one eye, and then you have to tell what's going on with your left eye or your right eye, and you're basically in a machine that prevents you from looking anywhere else but straight forward. Would anyone like to share experience that they've had with that, or anything that the declaration might have touched on that they would like to discuss, or questions that they might have? For me, like I said, the declaration was inspired initially by Pastor Lavelle and Dee Dee. And as I was studying this weekend, I came across the scripture in Hebrew. And, you know, it really made me think how it first talks about how there's this great cloud of witnesses, and how, you know, we need to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily entangles us. And how it's our responsibility to lay these things aside and to get rid of these things that can stop us and prohibit us from moving forward the race that God has called us to. Has anyone had any experience with that, or being finding yourself being stopped or blocked or prohibited from moving forward? Because it's not just a, you know, as I was really reading it and looking at it, you know, God was kind of like revealing a lot to me, because, you know, it talks about laying aside the weights as well as sin. So it's like a twofold thing. There are things that will weigh us down as well as sins that will entangle us. And, you know, it was interesting to look at that, how the word entangle, how it will literally like entrap you and entangle you and get you so caught up that you are unable to move forward. Anyone who'd like to talk about what the scripture spoke to them, or anything that they got out of that particular scripture?
Good morning, Pamela. This is Tanya. Can you hear me? I just stopped up from crying over Ruth Ann. Nobody want to be crying this early in the morning. But, you know, it's ironic that you talked about being entangled. I believe that's the phrase that you just used. I was reading in my devotion this morning. Ironically, it was Proverbs, the 5th chapter and the 21st through the 23rd verses. It just says, and I was reading in the Common English Bible, the Lord's eyes watch over every person's path, observing all their ways. The wicked will be caught by their own evil acts, grabbed by the ropes of their own sin. Those without instruction will die, misled by their own stupidity. And so, in essence, the 22nd verse there talks about how the wicked will be grabbed and entangled in their own stuff. And sometimes, you know, when you think about it, I forget where I was. Somebody was talking about it. I think it was Deanne during the this and that segment. Somebody, anyway, they were talking about how that people can get tangled up by the roots. It may not have been Deanne, but, like, if you've ever had a plant and you were trying to transport it to another pot, or transplant it, not transport it, to another pot, and you want to separate the roots, you have to do so very, very carefully, because they're just so entangled. You don't want to kill the plant itself, but you want to separate those roots. And so you put a little water on them to see where you're going, start to untangle the roots or whatever. But we can get tangled up. We can get so tangled up and stuff that we just get confused, and those roots can literally strangle us. You know, the roots of confusion, the roots of doubt, the roots of self-sabotage, anything that's negative, it can literally strangle the life out of us to the point where we cannot function and we literally die spiritually. And so I just wanted to encourage everyone to do to find ways that you can ensure that you don't get entangled and that you don't get trapped in the cares of this life. It can happen so easily, so subtly, without us even realizing. I hope I didn't babble just now. I hope I made some sense to some folks.
No, you made very sense. Go ahead, Patty.
I'm just listening to Tanya and then listening to, you know, your declaration. So basically, something that we're consumed with, or something that has consumed us, eventually, if we don't take care of it, and I'm going to speak for myself, the entanglement, we can be entangled in that situation, so that if we don't handle it, then we will die spiritually, because it's something that overpowers us. We've now allowed it. You know, and I know for myself right now, there's some things that I'm dealing with, and I have been really trying to to just lay it on the throne and leave it there instead of picking it up. As a matter of fact, even this morning, listening to the declaration, I could hear, you know, whispers of, when your mom goes home to be with the Lord, you know, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? You're not going to have the money that, you know, to, you know, the house is paid for, but you're not going to have the money to pay the bill. I mean, these are things that are being literally, like it's, you know, it's like the enemy is playing with my mind, but instead of, and I need to remember to stop it before it goes too much, because that's something that can entangle me. I mean, I can feel it. If I don't stop it and I don't give it to the Lord and you know, be anxious for nothing, then I become entangled and it consumes me. I can feel it, you know. And so during the corporate prayer, you know, I was kind of throwing all that stuff away and giving it back to the Lord. And, you know, he said, cast our cares on him because he cares for us. So I was just, so for me, I have to stop being consumed with the madness, because it's madness. No matter what, the Lord's going to take care of me. He's going to see me through. I know the promises that he's given to me, and I just have to hold on to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's good. That's good.
Pamela?
Yes.
This is Dee Dee. Good morning. Excellent declaration. And I was in the lineup. It just got... God just did what he's supposed to do. I wanted to say, I think for a lot of us, we don't necessarily understand that we hold on to a lot of unnecessary weight. And a lot of people, and it's a good thing, New Year's brings on a lot of new resolutions, and the gym's overpacked, and people are doing regimens, and, you know, even people have been doing procedures and cleansing, and all that's good. But sometimes it's not physical weight. I mean, it's good to want to look good on the outside, but it starts from within. And a lot of that excess weight is fear and doubt and temperament and anger and hidden stuff. And, you know, you just have to truly give it up to him. If it's anger, if it's old addictions, if it's soul ties, if it's sex, if it's drinking, whatever it is. Some people play church, and that's holding on to stuff that's real. I just posted earlier, you can move into the church building and still not know Jesus because you're holding on to stuff that he didn't give us to hold on to. So it's not necessarily actual weight when you get on the scale. It's just stuff from the inside out. It's a beautiful thing. I'm proud of people that go hard and even do makeovers, but that inside is still raggedy. We have to lay it aside. That besetting sin, the stuff that we've tried to get rid of, but it's like a stronghold, the stuff that's holding on. So we just gotta let it go. And I think Tanya may have said it before, like people want to say, I want to stop smoking. No, he's not going to come take the cigarette out your mouth. You got to put it down, because the weight slows us down spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and we cannot go forward stuck and holding on to that stuff that's not good, and it is going to kill us spiritually, emotionally, physically. That's where sicknesses and diseases come in. Mental, I'm always praying for my mind because it's so easy. Even this morning, challenged, because I woke up in that place, and I thank God for Ruth, too, for just hearing her boldness because, you know, for me, I keep reminding myself I love Dion for checking me when I need to be checked, but it's hard when you've been doing something for so long and it changes, you got to just regroup. So your declaration touched me in a different way this morning, and there's some things that I have to let go of. And again, like you said, focus it on what people say or think. Who cares? That's a distraction from that defeated enemy. We have to know who we are for real and know that we can run this race, but we can't run it with the extra baggage and excessive stuff that we got to unpack that red suitcase like I always say. Well, thank you, Pamela.
Hey, Pamela.
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Deborah Yvonne. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Deborah Yvonne.
Okay. What I wanted to say that, thank you, everybody that went before me. It's so true. For me, and I think for maybe all of us, is that life is going to happen to a lot of us, but we have to purposely go back to the cross, and we have to remember that Christ paid for everything, all of our needs on that cross. And I think that's easier said than done, because It needs to get to the point to where you know that you know that you know what he did for us and that we are his beloved. And when we're going through trials and tribulations, that's not always easy, but that's the way that, at least for me, that's the only way that I can get through. Because this world is always pouncing on us, negativeness and issues and problems, and the only way that I can get through, W. Vaughn, is to go and remember what he did and that he paid for everything, all of my needs, my health, my finances, everything he paid for on the cross. And that's what helps me to keep my focus on him and to always remind myself that it's, you know, that what I see is not what's really going on, that what you guys always say, God has got us, and he does. He does have us, but we have to believe him. We have to really believe him at his word, even though we don't understand and it doesn't make sense. And I think that if we would give ourselves credit to take one step at a time, and then we can grow in that. But the main thing is for us to keep our focus on him, no matter if we're just hanging on to a little string, is to keep our focus that he has paid for everything on the cross. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. You're absolutely right. We have to keep our focus on Christ. And that's why I kind of cut the declaration short because of time. But that's why I was kind of going over everything that kind of preceded that particular verse, was because in Hebrews, you know, we see who Jesus is, and like chapter 6 and 7 all the way through chapter 10, you know, we see how he is the great high priest who sympathizes with us, who understands everything about us, and he is the one who is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who has offered himself as the incarnated Christ, where he came down and he dwelt among here on the earth, and he took on the sins for us so that he paid the price so that we would not have to endure the punishment of our sins now. And because of that, if we focus on him and we keep our focus on him, and all that he's done for us and who he really is to us, then, you know, we won't get distracted. We won't allow these things that will come in and trap us and entangle us. And, I mean, it can be little things. It can be, you know, frustration, anger, becoming hurt all kinds of things can start small, but then they begin to grow into something even greater, to the point that, you know, it consumes us. And that's why the topic was fixing our focus, was because, you know, ultimately if you keep your focus on that prize, on him, on Jesus, you know, we're able to continue the race and continue straight through what he's calling each of us to do.
Good morning, Sister Pamela. Will you finish your thought? You paused. I thought you were finished. If not, go ahead and I'll wait.
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
No, thank you this morning for that declaration that you gave. As I'm sitting here reading along with you when you were going through the scriptures, and knowing that the race has been set before me means to me that there has been a path set that I'm going to go through. There are some lines, you know, boundary lines like they have on the track field, because you mentioned your niece,
yeah,
I believe, running the track. There are some lines there. Persevering the race, even when I falter, my feet aren't tangled. I may falter, but I'm not so bound up with the worldly stuff that I stop running the race. And in this chapter, he talks about the perseverance, that I haven't had to persevere nothing to death, right now. I haven't had to shed blood because of my beliefs and running this race that has been laid before me. And Christ, who is the forerunner for me, shows me by his life that sometime it may go that far. And that doesn't mean my physical death. It may mean death of relationships, death of love, lifestyle, because for me, I talk about myself first because I know that there are different levels of challenges that take place every day in my life. And it starts within my thinking process because I still have some oppressive thinking that goes on. And that thinking can lead me to crooked perceptions about what others, you know, and the world, because I begin to see it through tainted lenses. But when I stay focused, because it tells us to stay focused, to keep our eyes on him and running for the joy that has been set before me. See, because I got a goal, and I know the goal is to get to that joy of the race that has been set before me, and Christ is the fullness of my joy. It's a really a great scripture, and he tells us that he sat at the right hand of God, where that's the power. So he's interceding right along with that crowd of witnesses. They're like up there, like, Goldie, you can do this. Hang in there. And they tap me on my shoulder and remind me it's not that serious. Or don't be afraid, because Christ got you in this, you know. So I get excited about the word as I begin to live it out daily in my life. Things come up. It's not easy because I struggle sometimes. I had a silence for 2 weeks. My daughter wasn't speaking to me, and we live in the same house. But every morning, I would just bless her. God, bless her. Lord, whatever it is, keep her, Jesus. My heart was hurt because I miss hearing the sound of her voice and the laughter. So just a couple of days ago, and, you know, the enemy was at me. Well, she must be mad at you. What you think she going to say? Well, you know what? She could get out, you know. But it didn't come out of my mouth. So that was a challenge to keep running the race that's before me to get back to the joy of living in life every day. So she finally came and talked. We talked things out. We loved on each other. And God is good because I stayed the race. Even if others fall off the track, I may be able to stay the race to pull them back on, like with my child. So thank you for sharing that this morning. I thank God for the enlightenment that he gives with his word as we have these conversations. It just opens up the word more and more for me, and I pray for everybody that's on the call. Thank you, my sister, and have a blessed day.
Hello, this is the family.
Oh, I'm sorry. I put my phone on mute. I'm talking and I'm on mute.
Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
I just want to say it's good to hear you sound back again, and it was good to see you on the Sabbath. And I'm glad you're back home safe. I was thinking when you were talking about this race. And I was thinking about my own experiences running track, and I know that for me, it's there's two parts of running a race that, you know, I don't come to the race just, you know, right off the street. That there's a preparation, you know, that every time that we had a track meet or a race, you know, the week before comes a preparation, and part of that is with the group, you know, when we go through our exercises or we do our run. And then there's part of solitary, you know, I go through my mind how my form is, you know, I do my running, you know, around the house and everything, you know, I go through how I'm supposed to come off the blocks and how I'm supposed to pace myself. And it's during that week while I'm preparing for the race that I go through this, so that when the race comes, I'm focused and I'm not worried about, you know, all the people in the stands and everything. All I'm in, I'm not even worried about the person on the left or the right of me. You know, I'm totally focused. I'm on the line. And I like what Sister D said, Ms. D said about how the course is laid out. You know, you have the lines and stuff. And I was thinking about, you know, in my life, I've had examples. I've had witnesses who have run this race before me. And it's through their example that, you know, I find my direction, you know, not to just to run all willy-nilly, but there's a patience to my race that, you know, as soon as I take that first step, you know, I haven't won the race. But there's a, you know, whether there's certain distances in races. If I'm running the mile, I know I got to run a mile. You know, I can't run half a mile. I can't run a quarter of a mile. So I already have my mind set that there is a goal, and I have to keep running until I reach that goal. And that there have been examples that have people who have trained me, who have run with me, who have shown me how to run, and how to run this race. And is all of that I take into this race. And so I'm always prepared, and I'm ready to train. And when the time of the race comes, I'm ready. And all I'm waiting to do is hear the sound of the gun or hear the voice saying, get ready, on your marks, get set, go. And then when I hear that, I'm fully prepared. I'm ready to run the best race that I can.
Amen. Amen. And that's a good point that you brought out in terms of the different types of races and how it could be a mile and, you know, it could be, you know, a 2 mile or 10 mile, a marathon, and how based on what your race is, what your individual race is, you need to pace yourself and make sure that you have the endurance and the ability to endure that race and make it to the end. And by fixing your eyes on Jesus, it's like he will give you that strength. He will give you that ability. You know, he has the power within him. And if we trust in him with all of our hearts and lean on him, he will be able to strengthen us. The other thing I was looking at in Romans, I think it's Romans 6:14. It talks about how sin has. Hold on 1 second. Let me find it really quick. Romans 6:14 says sin must not have dominion over us. So if we don't give in to things that entangle us, and we don't allow these things to entangle us, then we'll be able to get ahead. We'll be able to move. We'll be able to run with diligence, and we'll be able to run with like grace when we lay aside those weights and we lay aside every weight that's keeping us, you know, holding us in bondage. And so that was just something I came across with that particular scripture. And then I was also looking at the word endurance and perseverance, because it means like the power to withstand hardship. You know, it's like the being able to have that endurance, that strength to withstand anything. So often we get frustrated because if we don't feel like God's doing something for us, you know, we're not going to make it. You know, we get discouraged when things don't go our way, and we get discouraged when things aren't, you know, lining up the way we think they should line up. But we have to remember that God's not like a genie. He's not like a Santa Claus. He's a sovereign God, and he's going to do what he wants to do, and he's going to, you know, be there for us and you know, move when he's ready to move. But we just need to make sure that we continue to focus on him. Anyone
Good morning,
else?
This is Ruth.
Yes.
I just want to say this morning, I just thank God because I feel so good this morning, and then Dion didn't pump me up. I was leaving the house. Just left the house this morning and without my glasses, and I know that I can't see without my glasses. That's how good I feel this morning. I think I can walk out and just drive with no glasses on. not going to happen. I thank you for the declaration. I can't see in front of my hand. But I wanted to thank you for the declaration. And I know that I have some things that I brought into 2016, some weight. And I believe God is going to do just what he did in 2015, is get rid of it. And so I've been praying for it. It's been a long time coming. And I just thank God for what he's going to do in my life. And I now know when the attack of the enemy is present, because I'm like, Lord, this, no, not this. This again, Lord, I mean, how am I going to deal with this? But, you know, as things come up, I can deal with things better because of what he's already done. And I always say the worst thing that could happen is death. And actually, it's not. I've noticed that death is not the worst thing that could happen. So I ask you guys to pray for me as I deal with this. But I do believe that, again, at the end of this year, I'll have another great testimony. And so, yes, baggage, I know how to deal with that now. So thank you for the declaration. And thank you for the word. I had a friend, he said, Ruth, Sister Ruth, all I need is the word. And I would say, no, you need money because you need to do this, you need to do that. He said, no, Sister Ruth, all I need is the word. So thank you for all the scriptures, and thank you for sharing with us, because that's all we need, the word. And with the word, everything else will come. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to share? You know, when I think about that word endurance, you know, to really run with endurance and to, you know, it's that, like, steadfastness. It makes me think of, you know, when you're talking about the word, it made me think about the scripture that says that those that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings of eagle. They shall run and not faint, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And, you know, it just made me think, when you're running with endurance, you know, things are going to get hard sometimes, you know, when you're running our race. But when you have strength and endurance behind you, you have that ability to just keep running, and knowing that, you know, God is going to give you that strength, that empower you and prepare you. And you just have to, you know, even if you fall, you got to get back up and keep running with endurance and keep focusing on the prize, focusing on the end result. You know, what is it that he's calling you to do? What is the task? What is the purpose? You know, and just keep your eyes on that. It doesn't matter, you know, what obstacles you might come across. You know, you just have to keep on running and pursuing. And that's what endurance is. It's like, just keep on going. When I was looking at the scripture, I realized that keeping on running, it's like written in the present participle, which means that it's not just to run, but it means to keep running. It's like a continued run. It's like a continued race. And so that's something that we need to realize. It's not just like one race that you're running, but it's like a continued. You just have to keep on running. And it's something that's ongoing. And even though, you know, you get weary, and even though you might fall, and even though you might faint, that's where the endurance comes in. And if you trust God, he will give you the strength that you need to endure to the very end.
Good morning. This is Tim. I didn't hear the declaration. I've had to listen. Hi. I listened to kind of what you're saying, and what you just said is what prompted me to say this. It's kind of amazing that the race is used as the illustration versus other endeavors like football, basketball, hockey, soccer. When I think about those are games, and if you're doing basketball say, you're going back in the enemy's territory. For example, if you got a goal, the other team has a goal, basketball is back and forth, back and forth. Tennis is back and forth, back and forth. And a race, because you just said it's continuous, to me, that's like saying some things we have to leave behind. But if you're playing basketball, you're steady going back into the enemy's territory. If you're playing football, you're going back and forth into the enemy's territory. If you're playing hockey, you're going back and forth into the enemy's territory. But when you're in a race, it's continuous. Like you say, you're going to leave things behind you as you continue to move forward. My daughter got a scholarship in track, and I used to watch her get prepared, but it was her focus and her attitude is what really helped her be successful. Because some races she'd win and some she'd lose. And the ones that she would lose, her attitude was, I'll do better next time. She had to believe in the confidence that the Lord put in her to keep moving. And maybe you didn't win this race, there's another one that you will win. And sometimes we look at the race from the Bible, the spiritual race, is one big race. But we got many sprints before we get to, like Brother Eric said, there's a mile. You know, there's a quarter mile. There's the mile. And maybe the marathon. So we participate in many little races, which could be our obstacles, in preparing for the great big race. And the big race is when we go home and see glory. But we have little bitty victories along the way. Knowing that God made us victorious, we do have to stay, what I heard you say, focused and on point and continue to look ahead. And people know when you're in a race, if you look behind you, when you get close to the finish line, if you look behind you, you'll lose time and the other person can come up on you and win when you turn and look around. And she was always, her coaches always told her, you know, never look around and never look back. So anyway, that's just my little piece.
Wow, that's good. That's good. That's real good. Yeah, you're absolutely right. There are, you know, when you're running that race, it's an individual sport. It's just you, and so it's your race. It's not where you need to focus on anybody else or anything else, or you know, like you said, going back and forth into the enemy's territory. You know, no, you are running your individual race that God has called you to do, and it's up to you to, you know, give it all you got and run full force to win it and to pursue it. And the things that, you know, according to the scripture, the things that can stop us is the weights that can weigh us down and that sin that can entangle us. And we need to make sure that we're laying those things aside and running the race with force. You know, I was thinking about my niece again, who's a track runner as well. And, you know, when you run a race, you don't run in your full street clothing. Like, you don't have a winter coat on and you don't have, you know, all these things that are going to weigh you down or slow you down. You know, you are wearing very minimal clothing and you know, pretty much, you know, you're down to shorts and a t-shirt and, you know, the very minimal things in order to be able to run with ease. And, you know, that's what the scripture is, the word is calling us to do. And, you know, I know for me, there's things in my life I need to really focus on. You know, there's things I thought I was going to accomplish this past year and never did. And I felt like I was being blocked. And I began to have to look at myself, like, and really examine myself and figure out, like, what is it that I'm doing? What is it that I need to let go of? What is it that I need to lay aside in order to really achieve what God is calling me to do?
And so that's what the declaration was all about, is that us really looking, it's, you know, a personal examination and just really looking at our lives and really, you know, asking God to show us and reveal to us what it is that we need to do to put aside. Maybe it's people, maybe it's a situation, maybe it's a lifestyle, whatever it is that's holding us back from really moving forward with diligence, the race that God is calling us to, we need to make sure that we lay it aside so that it doesn't trip us up and stop us and block us from achieving what he needs us to do this year. Is there anyone else who'd like to make a comment or? Okay, if not, we'll go ahead and close out this morning. And hello? Is there someone?
Yes, we're there.
Oh, okay. It sounded like someone was talking. I couldn't hear, tell. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and close out this morning. And this morning is Monday. Today's Monday, and it's Make It Happen Monday. So let's just be a blessing to those around us and to someone who needs to see Jesus today. And also, the Marriage Matters call is this evening. And so I really want to encourage us all, those who are married, to call
to join.
And to join that call.
And also, don't forget, if anybody would like to assist with meeting the need of a couple of victors, the link in the victory room is active and it goes to a specific account that we use for that purpose. So you guys don't forget that as well. Great call today, great dialogue. Pamela, excellent declaration.
All right, well, you guys all be blessed. I love you to life and I look forward to hearing you on the call tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Take care and God bless you all.
God bless everybody.
God bless you.